For those of you that were with us this morning, we endeavored to look at a piece of scripture found in the 8th division of Psalms. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of it? Or the son of man thou hast visited?" And we looked at what man is in comparison to all the creation, but with the great care that God has taken toward his children. If you have your Bibles this evening, I want to look at one of the things that has secured for us in that God has thought of us. Not only has he thought of us, he's provided something for us in Jesus Christ that we could not attain nor provide for ourselves. If it were possible for you to attain that which Jesus Christ has secured by any means other than the death of the cross, then Jesus Christ died in vain. If it could be attained by your good works, by you keeping the law, by somebody else making a sacrifice, then there was no need for the very Son of God to bleed and suffer and die and endure the things that he endured on your behalf. We know that it cannot be attained any other way, and we see that on the Mount of Transfiguration as it shows the ending and conclusion of the law and the prophets. They were until John. We see that that is taken up, and they saw no man save Jesus only when that cloud lifted up. And I'm going to tell you, in Jesus Christ and in him alone, is redemption, justification, salvation for his people. That's the only place it could be secured. In Romans, it's going to say something regarding that as far as what our position is right now. In the 5th chapter of Romans, in the 1st verse, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, justified is an interesting thing. And when you think about justification, you've got to figure out where the courtroom is. If it's within us, it's an internal sense of justification. If it's in the annals of glory itself, then it's an eternal justification. But the thing that I want you to get this afternoon, or this evening rather, is that justified means to be declared just. The law can't do that for you. If one of you were charged with something today and you went before a court of your peers, a jury of your peers, the best thing they could do for you is not guilty. They could not say he's innocent. They could not say he's justified. They could simply say not guilty. There's only one that can declare us to be justified before God, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, there is also justification that we feel in an eternal sense, internal sense, not eternal, internal sense, when we feel like that in some way we've honored the Lord in our actions, words, and deeds, and we have by some small just gesture have honored him in some way in our life, and he is satisfied with that. We feel that from time to time, that justification that we have. Now, he's going to move on from this, saying that we're justified. We know that eternally we're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is it. He says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Now, there's some things in this Bible that we are easy to read and they're hard to live by. For instance, the Lord said, "When you pray," right? Y'all ever really thought about the model prayer? When he says, we're to pray, "Lord, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's scary if you ever really contemplate what that means. That says, "Lord, forgive me like I forgive everybody else." That's what it's saying. That's an easy thing just to run off into your tongue, but it's a hard thing to live by and apply that in your life. Here he says, "We glory in tribulation." I don't know about you, but It's hard to glory in tribulation sometimes, is it not? But in thinking about this, one time I was watching this. I love the Outdoor Channel. And I'd like to one day go maybe hunt some goats or something like that out west, maybe in Alaska, but I hadn't got there yet. But they were hunting these mountain goats. And these boys were trekking through all this stuff, and they said, "We're almost to the tree line, we're almost to the tree line, we're almost to the tree line." Where I come from, the tree line is kind of like what's at the back of the field at Brother Phillip's house. That's where the field meets the trees, and that becomes a passageway for animals to travel, and that's a pretty good place to put your stand if you're trying to catch a deer passing from one place to another. And they kept saying, "We're almost at the tree line, we're almost at the tree line." And there's brush and everything. It's like scrub brush. It's real short. And they're just pressing through there. And the guy's recording. And next thing you know, they pop out. And it looks like they're on Mars. There's nothing but rocks everywhere. There's absolutely no trees. So when he was saying he was past the tree line, they were elevated to a point. They were beyond where the trees were growing. And the only thing growing up there was this little moss that was growing on the rocks and had these little berries, and that's what the goats were eating, and that's why they was up there, because that was after the goats. But the point is this. Once they got up there, the cameraman turned around. Now, they're on a mountaintop. I mean, they're on a high peak, and you can just see forever, it seems like. And the cameraman turns around, and he pans back way down into the valley, and you've got a big broad perspective, and he says, "That's where we come from," and he zooms in the lens, and you see their little camp way down there in the valley on the other side of a little creek where they were camped at. And I thought about that as they were past the tree line. I've had some wonderful mountaintop experiences in my life. And mountaintop experiences are glorious, and you can rejoice in them. But if we're all honest with ourselves, if we get on the mountaintop and we turn around and look back from whence we came, we're going to see that valley that we came through. And that's where all the growth took place. A lot of times growth don't happen on the mountaintop. In that instance, there wasn't no growth happening on the mountaintop other than a little bit of moss. But when they look back what they came through, it was just a beautiful painting of God's creation. And everything was just lush and green and beautiful. There was big, massive trees. And I think that's what's being conveyed here in our life as well. Mountaintop experiences are great and they're beneficial. But sometimes if we'd take the time just to view the valley behind this, we could really see where we've really grown in some of those instances. I'll never forget probably the most trying time of my life. Early on in my ministry, there was a man that, I have to tell that story another time, it's kind of a long story, but nonetheless, the man was of another order, and he told me the Lord impressed upon him to hire me, and that I was going to take the job, and I said, "Well, you let me try the Spirit, brother. I don't know which ones you're listening to," and I did, and I wound up taking the job. Well, he took it upon himself to spend the 3.5 years we spent together to endeavor to convert me to his way of thinking. And it really made me dig into God's Word to make sure I was standing where I'm supposed to be standing according to God's Word. And though it was a battle every day before work, he and I sat down for 30 minutes together, and it was like two rams just butting horns. And it's probably some of the greatest growth in my life that I've ever experienced was in that era of time. So here, when Paul says, we're justified, he goes on and says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." All right? Tribulation worketh patience. What does patience mean? In patience, we learn to wait upon the Lord. You know, used to there was a thing that our folks done a whole lot better job of doing. In some old writings, I can see it recorded as expressions. They would give a testimony of how good the Lord had been to them. they would stand up and share with the congregation. Let me tell you, brethren, I had my cop in the ground, and I didn't think it was good. And the Lord blessed with the rain, and it was a bumper crop. They would give testimony of how good God had been. And when we experience things like that, it's kind of like I heard a story of a fellow one time. He was from down south, and he went up north, and he had to cross this frozen lake. And all he knew about crossing frozen water was, Grandpa said, if you get out there on that stuff, you're going to bust through and die. That's how that works around here, right? Up there, he got up there and he had to cross this lake. He was really nervous about crossing this ice. So he decided if he'd lay down and get just as much surface area on the ice he could get, he could scrooch across. Y'all know what scrooching is, don't you? Sometimes I use words people don't understand, but anyway, it's not because they're so intellectual. He was scrooching across the ice. Laid down, just as flat as he could get, scrunching. And he heard this racket come behind him, and this guy come walking by looking at him like, bless, what is wrong with that guy? We got to feel a little bit better, you know. So he kind of stood up and started walking a little better. Felt a little better. Directly, he heard this awful racket come. He turned to look. Here come a man on a horse. He's like, oh, I'm all right now. So he begins to walk. Next thing you know, he heard this tremendous noise behind him. He turned and looked, and it was a stagecoach coming that had six horses hooked to it, and they was going across that frozen lake, and now the man was running, jumping, and leaping. Now, there was the same ice there when he was running and jumping as there was when he was scrunching. Y'all got that? But the difference was he had experienced and saw that ice, if it can hold up that stagecoach and all them horses, surely it can hold me up. And you don't know what a blessing you'll be to your brethren by sharing with them times in your life when you face tribulations, yet in patience waiting upon the Lord, you experience deliverance. And that'll strengthen your faith. It'll strengthen my faith, it'll help your faith, and it'll encourage us. And that's what we're to be, brethren, is an encouragement one to another along life's old dusty, sinful pathway. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. Now, I want you to know something about this hope. Because a lot of people use hope like, I say this, well, I hope I win the lottery. I don't expect to win the lottery because I didn't buy a ticket. If I want to help y'all out pay taxes, I'll just send a check over here. But I didn't buy a ticket. So I can't hope to buy a ticket because I can't hope to win it because I didn't buy a ticket. A hope is an earnest expectation. That's what hope is. Bible also says, for what a man seeth, what he yet hope for. You know, it says, now abideth hope, where in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Why? There's coming a day your faith's going to end, brethren. There's coming a day your hope is going to end. You won't need it anymore. When we see Him as He is with our eyes and not another, you won't need faith and you won't need hope. But right now, I'm telling you, we need a mess of it. We need a passel of faith. We need a passel of hope. And He says here that when we joy in tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. I believe David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I bet there's some brethren give testimony of that. God's been good to His people. Not only has He secured something for us in that we're justified and we'll eternally be with Him in glory, I'm going to tell you, He has blessed us while we live here in time. We looked at that this morning, how that Jesus Christ Himself comes down and gathers with the saints in the midst of the church and in the midst of the congregation and declares the Father's name unto His brethren and sings praises with us as we worship together. And from time to time we feel that. And I'm going to tell you, when I have times like that, I'm ready to face anything. Don't matter. And there's times in my life it feels like if somebody hit me with a feather, I'd fall over. Y'all ever experienced that? What's the difference? God's still on His throne, brethren. Same God we served when we was ready to face anything as it was when we was ready to get knocked over with a feather. He's not changed. I am the Lord thy God over at Malachi. He said, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason we have security, brethren, is because God is God. That's why we, not because of what you've done, Brother Philip, but because of what God's done, and because He'll never change. What He doeth forever. Praise the Lord. Trials, tribulation, worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. That means we expect deliverance. That's what that means, because we've experienced it in the past. And hope maketh not ashamed. All right? Now, this says we glory in it. That's a tough thing to do, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen some of God's saints go through situations and circumstances that I don't know how in the world they put one foot in front of the other. But at the same time, I know exactly how they put one foot in front of the other. It's because the same God that's delivered our brethren all the way back to Adam's the same one that's still on the throne today, and He's still delivered. Bible says He's a very present help in time of trouble. He's one that's sticking closer than a brother. I'm going to tell you, brethren, He cares for us. He loves us. He provides for us. That's one of the other things we're supposed to pray. Thank you, Lord, for what? Our daily bread. We kind of want to have barn fulls sometimes, don't we? I mean, whole freezer full, two or three of them. We just want to pile it up. That old widow woman, every time she went to that barrel, there was just enough meal. And there was just enough oil. And you know, sometimes we're such a blessed people, we take for granted the blessings. You ever considered that about that old widow woman? I mean, think about this. She and her son, she has reconciled herself to the fact, I'm fixing to go make a cake of meal, me and my boys going to eat it, and we're going to die. So today is their last day. And then the old prophet comes along and says, how about you make me a cake of meal first and then make it for yourself? And she did, according to what he said. And the entire time that drought took place, when that old widow woman went in there to that barrel, there was just enough meal and it was just enough oil all the way through the drought. Now, at the end of that, you're going to find where her son dies. And now she's fighting mad, ready to run the prophet off. I mean, that's what that's as best I can explain that. She said, I don't even know what I have to do with you. You know? You know what she neglected to see in all that? Way over there at the very beginning of this drought, she was reconciled to the fact, heard her son's fixing to eat a meal and they were going to die. And now you think about all the meals that they've sat down and had together and the time that they were blessed with. And she don't recognize that now. All she sees is the negative. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes in our life, that's the way we get and we take for granted the blessings of God. And when we take for granted those blessings, our hope is diminished. And we become ashamed from time to time. And that's why he's saying here, these tribulations work of patience, patience, experience, experience, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I'm going to tell you, brethren, I hope that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I hope that we're not ashamed of the fact we're an old Baptist. I'm telling you, I'm thankful I'm an old Baptist. I don't want to be anything else. If I did, I'd leave y'all, so I didn't bother y'all. I wish more people would do the same. But the fact of the matter is, I'm perfectly satisfied being an old Baptist. You know why? We got it, brethren. The Lord has blessed us richly, and we need to recognize from whence that comes, and we don't need to depart from it. We need to hold fast to it. But from time to time, we let some things slip. We need to continually be reminded of things. We need to. I don't know why we forget things so easy. It'll be before long I'll be able to hide my own Easter eggs. I'm telling you, I forget stuff all the time. I was sitting there thinking today, I've got to ask you later on about the second weekend in July. I know there's something that it's supposed to be doing, and I don't know what it is, and I didn't write it down, and it gets bad sometimes. But anyway, the fact of the matter is, we let things slip, and we can do that. That old widow woman, she forgot about all that goodness, and all she was looking at is the fact that now her son's dead. Now look, in spite of all that, you know what the old prophet did? He went in there and raised that boy up. That's amazing. Even though she was angry. Even though, it's kind of like Moses, when he went to that rock the second time, he's supposed to speak to it, he smote it. Even though he didn't sanctify the Lord God before the eyes of children of Israel, God still fed his people. That can happen in our lives. There's times I have starved to death standing before God's people. They might have fed, but I was starving to death. There's things that hinder us, brethren, and it diminishes our hope. Sometimes when we face all these tribulations, we forget in whom we've trusted. Sometimes we forget who it is that's promised. And sometimes we forget the promises. It's really hard to glory in tribulations when we forget some of the promises of our Father. I want to carry you now to a text real quick found in the 4th chapter of Mark. This is one of them things just, sometimes stuff just reach out and grab you. This is one of them things that just reached out and grabbed me one day. In the 35th verse of the 4th chapter of Mark, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now, if there was ever a time, one time I was going off to a meeting in Missouri, and I asked Elder Jerry Britt if he wanted to go with me. I don't know if y'all know Elder Jerry Britt, just a prince of a man and a wonderful dear elder. I miss him sorely. Look to the day I'll get to see him again. But I said, "I'm going to Missouri. Would you like to go with me?" And he said, "Whew, how long is it going to take us to get there?" I said, "About 2 hours." He said, "I ain't riding with you if you're driving that fast." I said, "Man, I'm going to fly. I'll get you a ticket if you want." He said, "Oh, no, 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 no." He said, "The Lord intended on me flying, He gave me wings." He said, "The Bible said, lo, I'm with you always." He didn't say nothing about high, Brother Luke. I ain't getting on a plane. Now, so Brother Jerry would not get on the plane with me. I say that in jest, but I'm proving a point here. What if the Lord had come there and talking to me and Brother Jerry and said, "Hey, fellas, let's get on the plane and fly up there to Missouri and go to that meeting"? Do you think Brother Jerry's perspective might have been changed regarding getting on a plane? If there's ever been a time to crawl on a boat and get ready to go to the other side, the Lord of glory said, "Let's go to the other side." This should probably be a time you say, "You know what? Let's go. I don't care how, oh, there's a storm coming. It'll be all right. It doesn't matter what's going to come because we got Jesus." My grandpa Laird, he was not an old Baptist. He was a strange fella. He had a very dry sense of humor. One time we come up on a wreck, and he asked the man, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yes, I had a good Lord with me." He said, "Well, you ought to let him ride with us. You're going to kill him." That's the way my grandpa Laird was. He was that kind of guy. Not that. Now, my other grandpa was a preacher. That one, definitely not a preacher. But the point is, if we got the Lord in the ship with us, and He's the captain of the ship, somebody said, "He's my co-pilot." You need to swap seats, folks. When He's the captain of the ship, everything's going to be all right, because He said, "Let us go to the other side." Now, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. Now, this part is the part that I never really... All right, so here He is in this big ship, and with Him there's other little ships. Sometimes I feel like I'm in one of them little ships from time to time. Here's the Lord in this ship. He said, "We're going to the other side," and there's these other little ships with Him. And here they go. "There arose a great storm of wind and the waves beating the ship so that it was now full." There's a miracle just took place. Ship full of water and it's still floating. The ship's full, but the Lord's in the ship and it's still floating. How many times in our life do we do this? The first time we face a little bit of tribulation, "Well, I must be going the wrong way." You do that from time to time? Think about this for a moment. Oh, Elijah goes up. Goes into this. Lord says, "You go up into this by this brook called Cherith, and I'm going to take care of you there." There's a drought in the land. He done prayed. It wouldn't rain. Lord shut up heaven. He takes him up to this little brook, and the fowl of the air are bringing him meat. He's drinking from the brook, and he's eating what the fowl are bringing him, the ravens are bringing him. And then all of a sudden, the brook dries up. What you reckon he might have been thinking? Now, he's clearly doing what the Lord told him to do, but the brook just dried up. You ever been there in your life? You ever been in the ship going to the other side, just like the Lord said, and all of a sudden a little storm comes up? Well, I done the wrong thing. That's our first thing. The old prophet. Well, I guess I messed up. I thought the Lord said come here. Maybe he didn't say come here. Brook's dried up. Maybe I should have done this. And then that's when he's going to send him down to see that dear old widow woman. It's amazing, brother. Amazing how the Lord works. But it's also amazing how quick we can faint. We'll faint at things that we ought not faint at. We'll bat an eye at things. And sometimes we don't bat an eye at things we should be batting an eye to. Can you imagine here this day? The Lord said, let's go to the other side. You get the ship. Now all of a sudden a storm comes up. What we must be thinking. Well, did the Lord really mean let's go to the other? Yeah, he really meant let's go to the other side. Folks, I got news for you. In this old life, there's going to be tribulations. The Lord himself said that. In this life, there's going to be storms. In this life, there's going to be hardships. In this life, there's mountains that you're going to come to that you think you can't get over. But you got to remember who it is that's promised. There's going to be issues that you face. There's been things in my life that I thought there's no way I'm getting through this one. I don't know how this one's going to. And a lot of times we'll say, well, all I can do now is pray. That's the first thing we should have done. All I can do now is pray. Let me tell you something, brethren. That is a mighty powerful weapon for the pulling down of strongholds, and we need to use it more than we do. These other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey? You can look at every one of those accounts, but in this particular account, he says, Here he was in this ship, and there was these several other little ships with him. You know what? They were delivered the exact same way that ship was delivered. Back over in Hebrews, it says that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. What I want you to understand is, brethren, he's the one that's captaining the ship that's going to carry us to the other side. And I don't care how bad the storm gets. I don't care what the situation might be. We need to remember who the captain is. He made us a very sweet promise in God's Word. And he's told us what he's going to do and how he's going to accomplish it. If you turn over into 1 John, the 4th chapter, he says this. Now I'm going to back up and give you a little bit because surely we're here. This is happening today. If it was happening that day, I promise you it's happening this day. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. You've got some people looking for a book of bear to come. Look, he said the spirit of Antichrist is already there then. If he's already there then, I got news for you. It ain't done nothing but got a little worse today, brethren. Still here. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. John himself said it's already here. But he tells us something in the midst of all that. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You need to remember who's guiding the ship, and you need to remember when the storm comes that the captain said, we're going to overcome them. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because, why'd you do it? Because you're such a good little boy or girl. No. He said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. You know, that'll throw the religious world on its ear today. The apostles themselves said this, Lord, pray for us. They said, pray for us, brethren, that we be delivered from, y'all get this, delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. Today they say, and pray for us, brethren, we be delivered to wicked and unreasonable men. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard of in my life. Clearly, the apostle said we need to be delivered from them. Why? Because all men have not faith. That's not who I'm supposed to be preaching to. We're supposed to be, remember when he asked Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. You know what he said? He didn't say go make sheep. He said feed my sheep. Preachers need to be preaching to those of the household of faith. That's who the gospel's for. That's who the word is for. We've overcome the world. Now, in the fifth chapter, he says, and I love this one. 1 John 5:1 said, whosoever believeth Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that's begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his promises. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. He said, you're of God, little children. You've overcome the world. Now, the last place that I want to carry you to is found in 1 Peter. And this is the thing I want you to realize. I'm going to make this point and then we'll go back and we're going to close right here. There's one that has told us we're going to the other side. There's one that has said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. You know why you're going to be there, brother? Because he's overcome death, hell, and the grave on our behalf. And we are overcomers, not because we are so good, but because he has overcome all of the opposition. The reason I know that, it's because he says, and the last enemy. You know, you don't have to be a professor to figure out what that one means. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now look, you know what it means when it says the last enemy? There ain't no more beyond that. That's the last one. So if somebody's looking for some battle royale to take place after that fact, they have missed the whole boat. Because he said the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. And when that enemy is destroyed, we're going to rejoice in life forevermore. Because we'll be rejoicing in the light of our darling Savior for all of eternity on a day that will never end. And for that cause, we ought to be praying, Lord, come quickly. But until that time, we need to remember he who's promised and said, because I've overcome the world, you're going to come overcome the world. Because from time to time in our life, we're one of them little bitty ships out there on the sea. And we forget that the Lord's in the fleet. We forget that he's one that sticks closer than a brother. We forget that he's one that can say, peace be still. We forget that he's one that's still healing his children today. We forget that he is the great physician. And we forget that he still cares for us. And from time to time we forget that, and when we forget that, we faint at the slightest wave that comes up on the side of our little ship. But I got news for you. On that day, brethren, there was many little ships that was with the Lord in that ocean. And I'm going to tell you, he delivered them all. You know why? Because he said we're going to the other side. And the same one that promised on that day is the one that's promised this day that he's carried his children home. And I got news for you. I don't care what you face. I don't care what hardships may come. When we leave this old low ground of sin and sorrow, we're going home. This ain't your home. Praise God, this ain't your home. This old place here is going to melt with a fervent heat. There's going to be some global warming take place, but it's going to be quick, fast, and all in a hurry. And it's going to melt with a fervent heat, brethren. But it ain't going to be man that brings it about. It's going to be God that does it. And when he does that, we're not going to be here. Because why? The captain said he's coming back to get us. And he said he's going to carry us to the other side. We have victory in Jesus Christ. And I don't care what you may face. Oh, glory and tribulations. Yeah, it's an easy thing to say, but it's a hard thing to live. Oh, but brethren, remember when your little ship's out there battered by the waves and it's about to fill up, you think it's fixed to sink, you're going down. Remember He who has promised is going to carry us to the other side. Why? Here in 1 Peter. In the 5th chapter, it says this. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Boy, there's an exalting coming, brethren. And it's an exalting. There's times in my life I've been exalted, and there's times in my life I've been abased. It's kind of an up and down, heels and holler kind of thing. But there's coming a day we're going to be exalted forevermore. We're exalted forevermore. We're going to glory. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be exalted to the point of, come ye blessed of my Father. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Why? Because He promised it. But right now, while you face these old seas and you get troubled waters from time to time and you feel like your little ship just ain't going to make it, He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That word careth is really important right there. I can say, Brother Philip, I care for you. I love you. I care about you. But what Brother Philip does for his family, I don't do for his family. You see, He careth for them. He makes provision for them. And I'm going to tell you, our elder brother has made all the provisions we'll ever need. So no matter what the storm may be, no matter what the diagnosis may be, no matter what the circumstance may be, brother, we can joy in tribulation, knowing that our little ship's going to make it to the other side of the shore, because the One who has power promised that we're going to be there where He is. May we ever be encouraged by that, no matter what we face, no matter what things may come along. May we joy in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, until the day that we'll never more be ashamed again, because we'll never more need hope, because we'll see Him as He is, with our eyes and not another. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. May the Lord bless us, our prayer.